Welcome to another episode of the Multi-Asian Church podcast. My name is DJ Chuang, and I'm joined with my co-host, Ed Choi, and we've been having a conversation about developing a multi-ethnic church that's friendly to Asian Americans, another way to describe it. And tonight's topic is something about leaders. So, Ed, would you unpack that for us, and let's see where we can go with this.
Great. Great, DJ. Well, to drill down a little bit from the week's past, want to know what you're observing as some of the best practices of senior pastors, particularly I wrestled between senior pastor, senior leader, but we could maybe stick to senior pastors for tonight. What are some of their best practices in terms of equipping and training the next generation of Asian American leaders, and looking specifically to anything that you might find as unique to, maybe not exclusively, of course, but best practices that seem to be particularly effective with Asian American or multi-Asian leaders?
There's some basic principles of leadership development that crosses racial and ethnic lines, and then there's some contextual issues related to leadership development. And there's just, so for our conversation, there may be an Asian American flavor to leadership development that might look different from non-Asians. So we alluded to some of the characteristics or ingredients of leadership development in our previous episodes, so I point people there to review that. But in my conversations with the Asian American leaders, and these are ones that are already in leadership positions that have years of experience under their belt, and the number one thing that Asian American leaders tell me is their need for role models and mentors. So even the accomplished leaders feel like they don't have enough role models and they don't have enough mentors. And so that would suggest to me to develop Asian American leaders more effectively and to have a longer run, you've got to develop mentors and you've got to develop role models. Or to say it another way, you've got to be that role model or you've got to be that mentor. And I think that involves coaching and involves training. Yeah, go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just going to let me push on that a little bit, yeah. Just to drill down on the terms. When you say, I mean, probably different people have different definitions and understandings of what mentoring and role models are, but if we could work backwards, just the whole idea of having a role model. Mm-hmm. I know you've talked some about historical context in the weeks before, but mm-hmm. Maybe you could touch on why that is. What do you think some of the roots of having a lack of role models are? I think in general, in our culture, in the current generation, that is an issue. That is a challenge. Mm-hmm. The emphasis of that in the Asian American or multi-Asian context. Can you touch on that?
Okay. Well, let me touch on it a couple of different ways. And I'm sorry, I can't provide specific examples. And that's one of the challenges. We don't have the role models and mentors that readily come to mind. We've got a few that are accomplished that have written the books. So whether it's Dave Gibbons or Ken Fong or Paul Tokunaga or Peter Cha or Tom Lin, I think that's about five, maybe Soon Chan Ra. There are only a handful that have been published, but they're not readily accessible by the masses. You know, because Asian Americans are scattered around the country. And when it comes to leadership development in the local church context, there really hasn't been the resources, materials, curriculums, programs, and those things made widely available so that we can all learn from those who have figured out or who have been down the road a little bit further in terms of leadership development. So those two factors make it hard for me to cite specific examples, as helpful as those may be. But in terms of the Asian American flavor of things, in the Okay, one thing I wanted to mention was there's a movie Waiting for Superman talking about the demise of the American public school system, and then there's been some studies about the educational accomplishment of America and how that's falling behind. And so America is now trailing many other countries in the areas of math and science and innovation and science or whatever. And yet there's one area where America still leads. You want to venture a guess at what that might be, Ed?
No, put me on the spot. One area
sure,
that we still
we want to make
lead.
This conversation.
Okay. I don't know. Does it have anything to do with entertainment?
No. Actually, the other night I was at a sushi bar and they were showing Korean pop music. So K-pop is really hot.
Okay.
Korean drama is really hot.
Okay.
So
all right.
You know, Korea might be the
all right. I mean, I was including that sports, but maybe that's not where you're going. I don't know, man.
Well, surprisingly, the studies say that America is still the world leader in the area of confidence.
Oh, okay.
Confidence. Okay, it's not a real tangible thing, but America, in its culture and in its, it's not genetics, but in its culture, people just have more confidence to try new things and to take leadership, which is a part of leadership, being willing to take risk, willing to try new things, and just putting yourself out there. So Americans still have that, but when we talk about the Asian American mix, which is kind of a bicultural mix of Asian heritage in the American context, Asian culture is not known for being risky. Stereotypically, they're risk averse. And so when you have a room full of young leaders, Asian and non-Asian, the Americans, the white Americans, would be the ones that would raise their hand and volunteer, raise their hand and take a leadership position when offered the opportunity. Your Asian Americans will probably not do that. And this alludes back to the book that you have mentioned before, Paul Tokenaga, Invitation to Lead, that for an Asian American, it's much more effective to invite someone into leadership. So for the Asian American leader who is looking to develop new leaders, so let's say, Ed, you're the senior leader and you're trying to raise up some young leaders. You would be the person that would go to that younger leader and say, hey, I think I see potential in you. Would you come and meet with me next Tuesday and let's get to know each other and let's develop your capacity, develop your leadership. Let's see where I could help you to become a more mature person.
Along those lines, DJ, I don't know if this is just too simplistic, but in that invitation, mm-hmm. and maybe I need to go back and review a little bit of what Tokenaga says, mm-hmm. but in that invitation, what is the senior pastor looking for if there's not already a structure for young leaders to be in, what is a senior pastor looking for to bring in or to bring up to make that invitation to next gen leaders? If you were a senior pastor, what would you be looking for in next generation leaders?
Boy, what would you be looking for in a young leader to develop them?
Especially taking into consideration that you might be in a context where you may not hear a lot of voice. You know, there
right.
might be some potential leaders in the room that
right.
you don't know are even there. And so, you know, making the invitation, the way I think of that is generally a personal thing. It's most effective perspective, when I'm new and I'm saying, hey, DJ, we're having this study or this gathering or this discussion, love to have you be part of it, but how do I even get to that point when I'm in a context where, you know, I don't even, I don't know, I get, maybe I'm thinking out loud here, DJ, yeah. But I think about what you said a couple weeks ago,
yeah,
in terms of build relationships, and maybe it's just going to come out of relationship.
Well, relationship is certainly the strongest connection to find people who are going to become leaders. As you pour your time and energy and training and coaching and mentoring into someone, then their leadership capacity will develop. Let's see. Well, two things I would say. One is, when it comes to volunteerism, whether it's a non-Asian context or Asian context, most people don't respond to an open call. So as much as churches and organizations use a classified listing or announcement, hey, we got volunteer positions open, that's actually very ineffective across the board. And yet we still do that, and I guess you kind of need to do that in one sense, but don't count on it for effectiveness. And then on the other side, it's through relationship and through spending time with people that you get to know what they're capable of. So whether it's you personally getting to know them or you getting referrals for people, those are two ways that you can get to know someone's capacity, someone's interests, someone's passions, someone's availability. And I guess from simplicity-wise, it's just the people that are most regular in attendance. That's a good sign of showing interest. And so you kind of start with those who are regular attenders, and then you give them small areas of responsibility. If they prove to be good with the smaller areas of responsibility, then you give them a little bit more, and then you tap into their passion and then direct it where that will go. It's kind of simplistic, but that's kind of what leadership development is. Yeah, I think with an Asian American, Asian American context, it takes a bit more relational aspect rather than a task-oriented aspect. So just kind of the traditional grid of relationship versus task. Probably Asian Americans more biased to the relationship side. So that's one adjustment a leader needs to make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The term for me in this conversation, you mentioned the two things, role models and developing mentors.
Right.
What can you... Paint a picture, just from your, you know, perspective of what mentoring looks like, or what it looks like, kind of in terms of a definition, and how what is unique in terms of best practices or whatnot to next gen Asian Americans. If anything.
Well, I'll respond this way. Just in terms of basic leadership development, and I draw this from a book titled Exponential by Dave and John Ferguson, that leadership development at its essence is me doing something and my apprentice watching me do it, and then me doing something with the apprentice doing it with me, and then thirdly, it's the apprentice doing something while I'm with him or her doing that thing. And then fourthly, it's the apprentice doing it by him or herself. And that's kind of just the four basic steps or ingredients underneath of any leadership development. And then when mentoring comes along, mm-hmm. mentoring is kind of checking in with a leader on a regular basis to see how they're doing and where you could be of help. And, providing the support, providing the coaching. And one of the new mentors, or one of the new guys that I'm getting to know who has mentored for a number of years, his approach to mentoring is certainly relational, but way less programmatic than some other mentoring programs that are out there. So sometimes mentoring programs can look like strategic planning for one person. So
right.
It's developing
right.
a goal
right.
and developing a plan and then checking in with the person and make sure they do the checklist of things they're supposed to do to get to the goal. And then the mentor helps them get there. And that's one kind of mentor. But this mentor, who I really respect and am getting to know, he says, a mentor is just someone who's willing to waste time. A mentor is just someone who's willing to waste time.
I like
time.
That.
And I think it's the imparting of not so much skill and competency, although that's there. It's actually the imparting of emotional capital. It's the imparting of faith and belief in the other person to be able to do something that he or she can't see in themselves. And the other person I can quote on that is Seth Godin. Seth Godin describes mentoring as something of imparting emotion and encouragement rather than content and skill. And I'll have the exact quote, but it's something to that effect. Is there's an emotional transference that encourages and empowers and gives that younger person the courage. The courage and the faith and the emotional impetus to take that next step of risk and that next step of leadership development. And it's very intangible, but yet it's so critical.
Yeah.
And that's what people are looking for. Because you can
get content
online so cheaply, you can get education, you can get books,
right.
but you can't get that relational, emotional support from a book or from a seminar.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, just, a great example of that is the time that you've invested here over the weeks with me and offline, asking personal questions and those little things, mean a lot. So that's a good example right there. A number of weeks ago, you posted something or maybe you just tweeted it, and it was someone you were quoting that had 6 questions for coaching. Was that Ferguson?
Yes, Ferguson again. Yes, and those are 6 great coaching questions. So when a mentor meets with his mentee or a leader meets with his apprentice, Dave Ferguson goes through 6 questions that kind of provide the framework for their conversation to make it really meaningful and show that the coach cares. So I think first question is something like, how are you doing? And where are you winning? And what is your challenge? And what are you going to do about it? And how can I pray for you? That's 5 of the 6, but I'll get you the exact 6 in the show notes.
Yeah.
But yeah, what were
your
thoughts about those questions?
I've used that a few times. And just in watching, he did like a little 2-minute video on that. I got what am I looking for? Just the emotional vibe of the importance of connecting with somebody in a way where you're after it, like I'm just repeating basically the same thing, but you're not just trying to impart some information or knowledge or skill or competency. All those things are important, but in the truest sense, you're serving somebody to win, so that they can win. I mean, the goal is seeing that other person win. And I guess in a culture, to kind of tie this back to the Asian American culture, there's a lot of these leaders that we might be referring to that have no names and faces, may have had a little relationship like that with their fathers, emotional connections, the whole idea of someone building into them. So I'm going to assume, I just do not have any experience, but I'm going to assume that as we commit to that, Asian American leaders are going to be drawn to those kind of mentoring relationships. Is that what would you say that you're observing that in where there is some senior leader win in this area?
I guess I haven't seen it firsthand, so it's hard to affirm nor deny. I'll say for my own life, having a father figure really made a difference in my own leadership development.
Uh-huh. Well, just to take a couple of the examples that you already gave, the only person that you mentioned that I know personally is Tom Lynn. I don't know him very well, but in terms of Dave Gibbons, Ken Fong, all those guys, you've probably been around them more. Would you say that, Paul Tokunaga is the other one, out of this, you know, the role models that we do have, would you say that these are guys that part of what is making them successful is that relational, the commitment to relational mentoring? I don't know if that's the way to say it.
From what I know of each of those guys, yes, relational mentoring is very much a part of their approach to leadership, some more than others. I did find the two quotes I wanted to pass along, so I'll mention them as well as add them to the show notes. So Seth Godin describes mentoring that it is rarely about the facts of the deal, but instead, mentoring is a transfer of emotion and confidence. So mentoring is a transfer of emotion and confidence. Now, training would be content, and training could be competency. So Seth and myself would separate training from mentoring, although they're connected. There's that intangible relational part to mentoring that's so much more valuable in a different way. And six coaching questions from Dave Ferguson. How are you? Where are you winning? What are your challenges? What will you do about it? How can I help? And how can I pray for you? So those will be in the show notes, but at least I wanted to say them out loud for the audio portion of this.
Is that something that I hadn't read his book? Is that something that he refers to there, or just something that you got from his podcast or whatever?
It's in his book, and it's in his podcast and other materials that he uses. So
great.
It's just really simple, but really powerful and really effective.
Awesome.
So awesome. I think when it comes to
another
way I'll answer the question is to develop Asian American leaders, we just need to develop them. I think the opportunity is there. It's just not being done enough. And that's why I don't have as many stories to tell as we could. Yeah, I interrupted you. I think you were going to ask if Dave Ferguson's going to be at the Orlando conference.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. He's one of the main organizers,
okay.
So he will always be there.
Okay, I assumed that. I'm on the outside, man, but looking to get deeper in, man. I'm really excited about that, and I'm excited, DJ, to hopefully be encouraged. Especially with the first day, the multi-ethnic side of things, and that certainly relates to our podcast here. Hopefully, there'll be some encouragements that we'll have some leaders that are out there winning in this area that maybe are under the radar, and maybe the Lord will use you. And in any way I can be involved in that, I certainly want to. But I want to see this be a win for the church and for the Lord. And what you just said is, I think, what a lot of us need to hear. In order to develop leaders, we just have to be investing in and developing leaders, and that's my commitment. And we're trying to do that here. And I know you're a significant catalyst in that area, DJ. So I appreciate what you're doing, and this will be a topic I'm sure for the next number of weeks we can come back to.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ed, for this ongoing conversation. I hope it's an investment for the kingdom as well. So great chatting with you again.
Absolutely.
And we'll do it again next week.
Thanks, DJ.
Great. Thank you, Ed.